This is Should We Just Watch It Real Quick, the only podcast hosted by a husband and wife who aren't at each other's throats. I'm one of your hosts, Dr. Damien Gibson. I didn't go to 112 years of Kramer versus Kramer school to be called Mr. Thank you very much. And in the blue corner, it's the Italian girl, and she'll rip your bloody arms off. She's Kelly. Big whoop. Want to find about her Festuca. Here she is.
Listen, I accidentally pressed send on the delivery order. So I'm hungry. I missed dinner last night because I caught up with some mates, and then I just whatever. So it's what time is
whatever.
It? 10:30, and I'm just fucking starving. I never really
10:24.
I never really eat this early. Like, I'll have a coffee and then I'll have a protein bar around 11 o'clock midday or whatever, and then I won't eat properly till
because you're getting pretty swole, right?
Yeah, getting pretty swole. And hey, Jimmy,
you're bulking.
And yeah, and I was like, I was so hungry. I was like, so I put the order in, and I was like, I just said to Damien, I won't press send now. I'll press send in about 20 minutes. So it should be here once we finish. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, yep. And I'm like, great. And then I just put my phone down and I picked up the mic, did a mic check. And then I got a message on my phone going, so-and-so is preparing your order. And I was like, oh, fuck, I didn't mean to do that.
You went full boomer.
Yeah. I didn't mean to do that. But anyway, so it's like half an hour away. So I'm like, whatever, because I didn't get priority delivery. So it's going to be cold.
Full boomer alert.
Oh, I just was so hungry. I was like, I just want some eggs on toast. And I have eggs and toast in this house.
I want eggs. That should be a Weird Al Yankovic song, right?
I want eggs and smashed avocado. Bing, bing, bing. Ooh, halloumi fries. I got a puppy on my lap. Which one? Well.
Evie
got fixed. Her vagina got taken away. Her uterus, her ovaries. Poor baby girl. She got fixed.
Oh, no. She's smelled something. Uh-oh.
Hey, oh, is mum and dad recording? Here we go. She's got some really big knots in her fur, on her hair, on her ears and stuff. So I've just gone after her with a little paw trimmer.
Mm-hmm.
They come off straight away, but fuck, she hates the sound of it. And it's so gentle. It's just like a little.
Why would Evie be nervous around you trimming her hair?
Because about 6 months ago, I was trimming her hair and I cut a chunk out of her ear because I'm a terrible mother.
Yeah. It was pretty scary. You didn't mean to do it.
She fucking had the best screamed. Of intentions. She screamed and screamed. And my mum, because I was so upset, my mum actually came over to like look at it, and mum goes, oh, she's like it was the size of like half the size.
5 cent piece.
Half of that, less than that. It was tiny, smaller than that, but it was still like, I just cut off her, just nipped her skin. So no scissors near her. That's the thing. But these are proper dog trimmers for their paws that if it touches anything, it stops trimming. Like it's impossible to get cut.
Yeah. You want to say hi, Evie? You want to say hi? Up, 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 up. You can probably hear her licking her lips.
Mate, she's such a loud dog.
Feral little
she's
dog.
She's 4
that she
kilos,
is.
Yet if I'm in the dark, I can hear.
I'm in the dark
here. I can hear her like she. So when we started fostering her, we've probably spoken about this a million times. She had a situation where her kidneys weren't connected to her bladder, and she was incontinent every 24/7, was wearing diapers, blah blah blah. Has since had an operation. Things look good. We're still trying to toilet train. Like, she knows to go outside, but her bladder is still trying to.
She knows to go outside. Sometimes she just doesn't want to.
Yeah,
and that's fine
because it's
that's
wet.
That's fine for daddy's little girl.
So we have like wee pads
she
out.
She could poo in the lounge room if she wants.
Mate, every day
it's
I wake
fine.
Up and there's a wee on the wee pad and a poo. But some days, like, she actually will, like, hold the poo in. And so she knows. It's more about how her bladder is so small. She just doesn't make it.
Mm.
That's her thing. But it's so, like, look at that wee on that mat there. Like, that's, it's, her bladder is getting stronger and stretching. Like, you know, so the toilet training is happening.
Do you reckon our podcast has become like Marin, where people download it and then they fast forward
the
through
beginning.
The first
yes,
10
I
minutes
wonder.
Where we talk about our dogs?
I wonder. But yeah, I mean, but a few days ago I emailed Starting Over Dog Rescue, who I foster with. And I mean, she's probably my 7th foster. And, you know, you always want to keep every one of them, but you don't because you got to keep the space free to.
Oh, yeah,
for the
puppy
next people.
News.
Yeah. So I emailed them and said, woof, 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 woof. I emailed them and said, listen, she's going to be a foster fail. She's going to be part of our family.
Yeah. Aww. So we officially adopted Evie.
Yeah. So I put the paperwork in, contacted the council. So she's going to be a Gibson. She's got the fucking attitude for one.
Yeah, poor thing. Yeah, she's got enough mental illnesses to be able to join the family. So yeah, that's
welcome,
great.
Welcome, baby. Welcome, baby girl.
Yeah, you found your clan.
Yeah. And poor baby girl.
Yeah, nothing else is really going on. Things have been pretty good. We went out for breakfast yesterday to the pancake parlor.
I took him to the pancake parlor.
It's the happiest
parlor.
I've ever been.
The fact that we don't go often enough, like, it's a ripoff. It's flour and water.
And it's not even particularly good.
One pancake's like $15. It's disgusting.
The coffee I had at the pancake parlor yesterday was literally the worst. There was a coffee I had. I got from a truck stop, road stop in Austin, Texas.
Swill.
In 2006, and that has been the worst coffee I've had in my life until yesterday morning. Mm. It literally felt like a 4-year-old had gone outside, got a clump of dirt, put it in a cup, and then put boiling water over the top.
It looked good. Was it a mug?
It looked fine, yeah. I mean, delved under the froth, under the creme.
I feel like the maple syrup. Under the creme. I don't know. I felt like the maple syrup wasn't maple-y enough. Like it was watered down.
Yeah, of course.
Just felt like it was watered down. And we have the maple syrup in our house is like sugar-free maple syrup.
Yeah.
Right?
I've married my mum. Everything in our house is sugar-free. Yeah,
I know.
Diet light margarine.
Oh, we're two fatties living together. We enable each other.
We do.
We're really bad. Anyway, but yeah, it's like $15 for like one pancake, a bit of ice cream and the maple syrup. So
the pancake parlor in Werribee though, and this is the reason why I bring it up, absolutely fucking heaving.
Yeah, busy.
Like pumping. And people coming in and out constantly, like doing a roaring trade.
Man, we saw there was a date behind us and I didn't see the chick. I just saw red hair and Damien's like, she was gorgeous. She was beautiful. And then this kid shows up. We think it was their first date, like a Hinge or Tinder date. And this kid shows up and he's just such a, like, not a dork, like a nerd, because I would rather a nerd, but just like a guy who, like, you know, bought a t-shirt at...
Just beige. He's got like a Mossimo t-shirt on with
Jeans West cheap $5 t-shirt with you know, just like jeans. Like,
but this is the best this kid could do.
And like New Balance.
This is the best he could do, you know. It's like
New Balance runners, not even
sneakers.
Let's
meet at the pancake parlor on a Saturday morning at 10 a.m. I'm going to wear my good Mossimo t-shirt.
And she's gorgeous.
The look on her face when he walked over.
Yeah, so disappointing.
She was so heartbroken. Just that look. And me and Cal went through this because we dated a lot of frogs from the internet before we met each other. And the look, like, you know, that thing of like, I'm going to waste my whole fucking Thursday night on this shit. Like instantaneously.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds awful, like you're just judging a book by its cover and blah, blah, blah. But And she had that look of like, because it's not necessarily, I don't think the look from her was like, he's not handsome enough or anything like that. She just summed up the situation, was like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
What am I doing at a pancake parlor, Werribee Plaza pancake parlor at 10 a.m. on a Saturday morning?
We're not making fun of people.
For a coffee date with like a guy who, you know.
We're not making fun of people like an uggo or whatever. I'm talking about effort. Like I will say when I was dating, looking at a man's shoes, I've spoken to so many women about this and we're all on the same page. When you go on a date, the first date, second or third, especially until you slept with each other, look at a man's shoes and they will tell you what he thinks about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, if a guy shows up on a date in runners, I mean, doesn't matter what brand, I'm talking runners that you go to the gym in, it is a hard no.
Oh, right.
There's a difference between runners, and that kid I think was wearing runners.
Yeah.
And that's why I was like, I felt bad for her, because she would have seen that and gone, he's just put on the shoes that were at the door.
Hmm.
Like the same shoes that I used to have a fucking stand-up joke about this. The same shoes that guys shove on their stupid feet when they take the bins out, and then the back heel has been you smush down. Like, if you're wearing those shoes on a date, you don't deserve to get fucked. if the back heel has fallen down.
I can't disagree.
Right? Dude, I used to do a joke about it. And, like, the women were like, preach, preach. And the men were like, oh, women are so superficial. It's about effort. No, so if
come
a guy,
on, fuck it,
you
Jesus
showed up
Christ.
On my date, I'm pretty sure wearing really nice Nike sneakers.
No.
No, no. What were you
no,
wearing?
Because
oh, you wearing?
I didn't. I hadn't bought any of those yet.
You're wearing like brown boots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So
dress boots. They were like, but they're sort of hard to describe. They're like boat shoes, but boots. But anyway.
But also, you wore nice, like you wore boots. Like,
here's a tip, young fellas.
Dudes, listen
you wanna,
up.
If you want to know,
you
want
a bag
to,
of a Stuka.
Yeah. Iron a shirt. Polish your boots, put a fucking pair of boots on, spend more than like $20 on a jacket.
Yeah, a nice. You had a nice jacket on. I think you were wearing a denim jacket.
Yeah, but you know, I don't know how to say this. There's a couple of things about me. Dogs love me and I'm pretty good with fashion.
You have your jacket sense of style is excellent.
But all you got to do is go to a place like – you've just got to go to a place like Mr. Simple or something like that, right? Spend a little bit more money and have like one or two outfits that are like, hey, when I'm going out somewhere nice to eat or if I'm going on a date, this is what I wear. And then the rest of the time –
it's got a signature piece.
Yeah. And then the rest of the time you can wear – once – listen, put it this way. Once you're comfortable farting in front of each other, that's when the track pants can come out. Yeah. You know, and you only got to wait 4 or 5 dates – and then it's fine. Then you
shoes
can,
is big though. Shoes is like whenever
are,
I went
guys
on.
Guys are bad with that shit.
Whenever I went on a
actually,
Tinder
younger
date,
guys seem better. The guys I work with, they all, most of them are pretty good. Like
it's just there's something about sneakers where that's like the last thing you think about when you leave for a date. And it's just, it's not even like a date. It's just we're meeting first date, like first, like a drink. Because I even said it last night when I was hanging out with mates where I was like, if you're dating on the internet, the first time you meet someone, I wouldn't even say that's a date. You're just meeting them.
Yeah.
The date is after the initial meet and you
now
guys agree to see each other, that
date.
Is
yeah.
a date.
Yeah.
Right, that's different. But meeting someone for an hour to see if there's something there is different. But the shoes, it's the last thing you do when you leave the house, and so that's like your last thought about impressing someone. And I just feel like women do so much. Like we use skincare. We
they
do
don't
our hair.
Shut up.
We fucking
They're always
shower.
Nagging.
We go to therapy. Anyway.
That was a joke. I'm joking. No, they do. You do. That's the thing. Actually, coming from the other side, there are a few dates I went on where.
Oh,
like,
I'm sure there is. Yeah, I'm sure.
Like, you know, a couple like of girls who, like one girl in particular who showed up smashed, had been drinking all day.
God.
And then
how many
was
dates
like,
did you show up smashed?
Well, this is after I got sober.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Oh, that is and so like, disappointing.
And then she showed up and told me that her wallet had been stolen from the gig that she had been at the
Are
night
you sure
before.
This wasn't you?
No, no, no. I mean, this is the kind of torment that I put on women for like 15 years. So, like, it's karma. But, yeah, the other thing I would say as well is don't be cheap. Don't just say, let's go for a drink. Ask the girl out for dinner. You know what I mean?
I would wait for the second date.
Go straight away.
No, because I don't want to sit at dinner and talk to someone when I already know in the
I
first
suppose
10 minutes,
what I'm trying
so
to
fucked.
Say is don't be cheap. I think there's a lot of guys who are like, oh, I can go on a coffee date, have one coffee, and then, you know, maybe we'll hook up afterwards. Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
It's expensive, though, if they're taking – if every I feel like the first meet, drink, but the second one – absolutely food, don't be cheap. With you were a different kettle of fish because I had dinner with you the first time I met you, but it's only because we had a mutual friend and I trusted that mutual friend that you weren't a psychopath.
Look, listen, guys, just listen to me. I asked her out for dinner on the first date and now we're married.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Also, just with guys in general, fucking shower.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Dude, I catch
who
the train. I catch the V-line train. Anyone who's catching the V-line train at fucking 5:30 in the morning, and if you're a tradie in particular and you're listening to this, this is for you. Have a fucking shower. I know your attitude would be like, well, I'm just going to get to go to work and get dirty again. Other people have to smell you, and it's disgusting. It's disgusting.
I can't believe after work, you have like to say this, but you're 100% right.
If you've been working all day and you stink or whatever, whatever. We can't help that. Like, we've been at work all day. I don't expect you to go have a fucking shower before you get on the train. But if you're leaving the house, what those work sites must be rotten.
I can't tell you how many guys would show up on a Tinder date or whatever and they had not showered and not brushed their teeth. Like, it's
well,
it's
there's people big. In the office that I work with that are the same as well.
Yeah.
That, like, just stink.
We should talk about
pop music. Talk about pop music. We've been watching a lot of TV shows. I don't have any movies. I haven't watched any movies.
No.
I watched The Hard Day's Night starring a little band called The Beatles. I can't get you to watch that. Whenever it's on, you just walk out of the room.
I mean, it's fine for the background. You know what I mean? I'm just not into – I love The Beatles, but I'm just not into the movies as much as you are, and that's okay.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Write in, guys. Let me know. Should I divorce Kelly for not watching A Hard Day's Night?
Shut up, dickhead.
But besides that, we've been watching TV shows. Friends.
Still watching Friends.
Still watching a lot of Friends.
Still hate Ross, that fucking
something
jealous
happened.
Fuckhead.
Can I just want to talk about this. I know you get frustrated talking about the same thing all the time, but I just want to talk about something happened after Monica and Chandler's wedding where the writing
it's rain.
For everything changed. Ross is more over the top, even worse. But then there's this dynamic between Chandler and Monica once they get married that I really don't like, of her being this domineering wife and Chandler's this like whipped husband. And that, like, before that, they weren't like that. For the couple of seasons where they're a couple, I actually thought it was a really good representation of like an adult couple. You know, like they would have arguments, usually because Chandler had done something stupid, but then they would work it out. Monica would kind of, there were jokes about it that like Monica was teaching Chandler how to be in a relationship, but I liked that.
Mm.
And then the minute they got married, she turned into this kind of like 50s housewife, you know what I mean? Like with a rolling pin, like Chandler, you better not be smoking. Chandler, you better not be, you know what I mean? And it just.
Yeah, I just think they don't know what to do with the character because but she the was character, all about founding a man.
But they had built, no, but her character wasn't just about that. There was like the jock part of her, the like the anal part of it. Like the funny bits about Monica's personality were already there. They didn't need to change anything at all. And I think like to have. There's all this chaos going on in the other four friends' lives. Ross and Rachel are fucking all over the place and Phoebe and Joey are always all over the place. So to have this like centered anchor in the middle of the friendship group actually makes more sense than for them to be constantly having marriage dilemmas. Like there's one whole episode where Joey invites Chandler to a Knicks game and it's the time where Joey's like working in Tulsa. Chandler's working in Tulsa and he wants to spend time with Monica. But really, it's only because Monica won't let him go watch a basketball game because she wants to get pregnant. It's just like, ugh. Like,
the storylines are really, they're struggling.
Yeah, they're really struggling. But it's because they're diverged, like they're... If you're going to do that show, just keep doing what worked. I understand it's like, oh, let's push ourselves. Let's do different stories. What are we going to do? But the characters are changed. Like, it feels like sometimes the characters change overnight, you know? Phoebe cheating on, like, so Paul Rudd's just appeared, which is a breath of fresh air. And her and Phoebe have started dating, which is great. And then she, like, kisses Hank Azaria.
Yeah.
You know, which make like every choice that the characters are making at this point is making them really unlikable. Don't you think? Or am I overreacting and I should just enjoy
I mean,
it?
Listen, I think there's like two episodes left of this season, then there's only one season after. So we're just, it's just not as good as it was. That's, you know, they're struggling with storylines. They're, you know, blah, 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 blah. But we did start watching a show yesterday that we binged about, what, 8 episodes?
Yeah, we're up to episode 9, so we watched
but
8 episodes in a row yesterday.
I've been dragging my feet to watch it because everyone was talking about it, blah, blah, and I just was like, ugh. And then I just kind of put on the first episode, then Damien kind of came in halfway through, and then he came and watched the second episode, and then I'm like, oh, I get it, Ted Lasso. I get it.
Yeah.
It's chicken soup for the soul, man. I get it. It's beautiful.
It's
gorgeous.
I got a couple of friends like this in real life that like I'm a very Kelly knows this. I'm a very I'm contrarian person, skeptical, grumpy, I've been called. I don't like the title grumpy because I don't think that really is who I am, but put it this way. By the end of the first episode of Ted Lasso, I was like, ugh. There was a part of me that's like, I can see why normal people love this show so much. And then by the end of the second episode, it's so relentlessly optimistic. And Ted Lasso and Coach Beard are so relentlessly good. That you just can't, you just don't.
Yeah.
You just have to get, you get swept up in it. You can't be, no matter, because there was a part of me that's like, I don't think I want to like Ted Lasso. I'd already made up my mind. Of like,
same. I was just like, ugh.
People, like, it's for years.
Bubblegum and
you'll
whatever.
Love it. It's, but then I was like, well, we've been watching Friends for the last month. Like, what, you know what I mean? Maybe we do. And you were like, I think we should maybe watch this. It could be like Friends where we just watch something really nice and, and now I'm all in. Like, up to by episode 9, I'm all in and I just want to know what's happening. And Roy, the captain,
is like, great.
Is so awesome.
Oh, he's so good.
What is really good about this season is that the character arcs for everybody in the show, even though it's kind of signposted, you want it to happen so badly that, like, when it happens, you're craving it. You know what I mean? So, like,
yeah.
When Roy and what's the young chick?
I'm looking at her Wikipedia page right now. Keely.
Yeah, so they like make it very obvious from the get go that those two are going to get together, but they sort of hold your hand through the whole process. So like when it does happen, you're like super happy that it's happened. Is it? What's the God? They say her name like 15 times an episode. The big boss, Rebecca.
Yeah,
yeah. You know that she's gonna turn good. Like, like it's obvious from the first episode. But like, the writing, like I said to you halfway through the first episode, like no one talks like this.
Yeah, and
but
then
by the third episode, I'd
let it go.
I'd let it go.
And also the story of how it all started where she's like, she wants his team to tank because her husband loved her and her husband's a cunt and they're getting divorced. Like that if someone tells me that that's what this show's about, I would roll my eyes because I'm just like, ugh.
It's well, it's Major like, League.
It's exactly Major League. And I just cannot. But I very quickly forgot that that's how it started because it's just we're on a massive journey for everyone. And the fucking Nate – the Kit Man. Oh my God. Yeah. What a great character.
They're all, yeah.
Great.
They're all really, like, even though it's very nice and fluffy and friendly, the characters are well drawn. They're well acted. There's an arc for everybody, even though it might be a little obvious as to what's going to happen with those arcs. But it's such an optimism machine that you don't care. Like any sort of bits and pieces that might be a little bit like, I don't know, obvious. I don't know. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, pancakes are obvious, but they're delicious. So mate, who gives a fuck? Like just eat them and enjoy and, them. And not everything has to be high art.
Yeah. Giles is in it and he's like an absolute fucking piece of garbage. And
yeah. Giles from Buffy the Vampire Slayer for people who aren't.
Yeah. it's just.
But that, I was going to point that out, Bob. That's actually really good because the minute that like Rebecca is starting to fold as a baddie in the show, they immediately introduce the husband as a character to own the team. So there's always some sort of tension with the club.
Yeah.
Because if she just eventually caved and was like, actually, I want the club to be really successful and I'm all in and I'm part of the team, then where's the tension in that? There isn't any.
Yeah.
So there still needs to be someone there being like, well, I'm going to make sure this club fails. So you're still rooting for the good guys, you know? You just want Rebecca to join the resistance and
make
Richmond a great club.
And I feel like the story is like, it's moving along. There's purpose and we're working towards something. And there is like character development is not, it's not out of reach what's happening. Like people are getting better, you know, are improving themselves, getting better. And, you know, the villains are the villains. And you can just see like the one villain, Nick, there is a battle where I'm like, he's going to come good, but he has to get there, you know, like he has to slowly get there. Man, it's just, it's not even like particularly like, funny, like there's funny moments and stuff. It's just my heart. Chicken soup for the soul, mate.
The vast majority of the, to me, the vast majority of the laughs come from Sudeikis just having the ability to read a line, make it funny.
Yeah.
But they've been working, I looked into it a little bit because I'm like, this is such a strange show for Americans to write. Where has this come from?
Mm.
You know what I mean? These guys have been... So, supposedly they would do skits for this on ESPN.
Well, yeah, I was just reading that it started as a skit and it was his ex-wife, Olivia Wilde, that was like, you should revisit that character.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Like, make him... And at first he, like, wrote it a little bit more belligerent and then he made him more sympathetic because he was like, Jason Sudeikis was like, I'm not online and stuff, but... So he's not really online on social media, but it was when like Trump was like becoming president, you know, all that sort of stuff, where he was like felt really affected by how much the world was just, there was like, there's like, I know this sounds really lame, but a lot of hate in the world, a lot of hate. And he was like purposely made Ted more positive and optimistic because of what's happening in the world. And it works. And it works. But he's also fallible, but it works.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. I had too much coffee before the record. Yeah, I was actually blown away by the sort of spell that this show cast on me by halfway through the season. By episode 5, I was fully invested. It is funny that, like, Welcome to Wrexham came out. Did Welcome to Wrexham come out after Ted Lasso? Because if it did, they've 100% just lifted. Right, don't you think? They've just 100% sort of lifted the idea.
First 10 episodes came out in August 2022.
And Ted Lasso started in 2020. So it's 2 years after.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I meant 2020. So August 2020 was Ed Lasso. Let me just check Wrexham.
I think it was way after that. Or a year or two after that, at least.
Yeah. Because if they did, they'd totally.
Right? It feels like they've watched the first season of Ted Lasso and they're like, we should buy a football club.
2022.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably not that. It's, you know, like, I'm sure.
Premiered August, exactly 2 years later. But it's really good. Wrexham's good too. I mean, now they're struggling to fill up the seasons. It just needs to be one or two seasons and then end.
I think Welcome to Wrexham would have been amazing if it was one season. But that second season of Welcome to Wrexham, they stopped talking to all the people in the in the village. They were the stars. Even though they, and supposedly I was reading up on that because as I was watching the second season, I was like, what's going on here? Why we've got less of the players, we've got less of the townsfolk, like and supposedly the townsfolk became a bit of a problem. Like it became a bit of a pain in the ass.
They thought that they were the stars now and they were all annoying. Yeah. Okay. I could absolutely
So they understand. Kind of just dropped talking to them. But I was like, yeah, but that's sort of was the secret source of that show.
Well, I'm looking at the Rotten Tomatoes, 92% for season 1, 98% for season 2, but then only 81% for 3, which I would understand that, you know, it would lose its fucking blah, blah, blah. But apparently it's just announced a fourth season. But listen, guys, don't overdo
it. Cool. We've got a lot of Ted Lasso to catch up
don't
on.
Don't overdo it, guys, honestly.
Well, just getting back to, I know I want to talk about Friends a lot. Friends is still a really... like there's, yeah, I mean, we've watched a lot of it, so we're probably both at the point where we're like, ugh. But it's still fun. Like, it's still a nice show and fun and...
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, what's going on there? Oh, they just... Oh.
Sorry, the Jim just Jim attacked Evie.
Ran at Evie. What's going on? Oh, what happened there?
That's never happened before.
He's never done that. But she... She's shaken. Oh, he never... He did it, like...
I think maybe because I was patting him and she came over and so, like, he's, like, protecting
me. I don't know. She kind of jumped off really slowly. I wonder if she's behaving in a weak manner and he just felt, you know, the opportunity to get her. Because the way she kind of jumped off really slow and was looking around. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, how many grumps are we going to give Ted Lasso?
I'm going to give it 4.5. I think it's really well made. I think it's really well written. I want to watch more of it. The whole world was right and I was wrong. I shouldn't have waited 4 years, 5 years to watch it. Mm. There is a part of me that if everybody tells me to do something, I will not do it. That's never going to change. So I'm always going to be 5 to 6 years behind everybody else.
Yeah, I know.
Because I'm going to see all my friends next weekend and be like, oh, hey, guys, I started watching Ted Lasso. And then it becomes that conversation where everyone goes, oh, I love that show. Where are you up to? And then you'll go, oh, yeah, I'm up to this part. And then they can't remember. They're like, is that before or after this happens? And then you're like, no, shut up, spoilers.
Go away, everyone. I don't want to talk about anything unless it's the pit.
So that's why you should only listen to podcasts. You go and watch the shows and then you come and listen to a podcast like ours and it's like hanging out with a couple of friends talking about the show.
4.5 grumps, yeah.
Yeah, 4.5 grumps. Right. Anyway.
All right.
Cal, do you need to go to the potty?
Yep.
Well, you know what we say here, when Kelly's got a potty, it's time to edit the potty. Yeah. Thanks for listening. We appreciate everybody's feedback, reviews, downloads, streams. We actually got past 3,000 downloads during the week.
That's nice.
Which for a podcast that
doesn't do any advertising.
No advertising, does intermittent episodes. Like, it means a lot. It means a lot to me to be able to do this with my wife and share something with you guys. And, it's really sweet to see people actually liking it. So
it's a bunch of dickheads.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody. Give us 5 stars. Tell your friends.
Yeah. I'm not going to promise that we're going to change because we probably won't. But we appreciate your support. We love you very much. And we'll talk to you next episode.
All right. Love you.
Love you.